are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
That's exactly where you're at, Adventist World Radio, listening here on the Maranatha Drive, the drive show of choice, and we are so excited that you could be a part of this conversation today. Now, with rise of remote work and virtual teams, effective virtual leadership is more important now than ever before. Now, leaders who can effectively lead and manage teams remotely can help to maintain consistency and performance, including engagement and collaboration right across geographies and time zones. Now, if you can't manage and you need to see them sitting on their desk for you to be called a manager, then this might be the worst time of your life. No wonder people are fighting, come back to the office. So let's have a chat, trying to understand if this can be helped and if this can be learned as well as a skill. So do join us as we talk this afternoon to Muchamlingo, the EQ coach, right, as we are trying to make sense of this idea of virtual leadership. Good afternoon to you, Mucha, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Trusting that we find you well.
All good. No complaints.
Zero complaints.
Well, the weather could be better, but it's Cape Town for you.
I wanted to say, hey, but nothing, no complaint, like nothing, surely nothing. But no, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and the listeners. We truly appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
So we're looking at this idea of virtual leaders. Maybe let's start off by looking at some of the hurdles they have to face as they are leaders on the virtual spaces. What are some of those unique challenges of leading a virtual team, and how can leaders overcome these and bypass them?
So, you know, there's a number of challenges with virtual leadership.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think that's chief, is the absence of the informal, spontaneous connections, right?
Okay.
On a day-to-day basis, you would typically have water cooler moments.
Ah, okay.
Where we can interact and connect with each other. And without these, misunderstanding can fester, collaboration can become very transactional, and team members can actually feel isolated and disengaged, which can lead to, you know, even kind of mental health challenges, maybe at the lower end of the spectrum, with things like anxiety. And when people are overwhelmed, leaders may find it hard to tell. So to overcome this, leaders must be a lot more intentional. They must design time for connection, not just task updates. Often as leaders, we have meetings, and you'll find when you have virtual teams, you have more meetings.
True.
But those meetings tend to be very transactional. So we need to make sure that, you know, I always encourage my clients to actually schedule time for checking in, right? So making checking in intentional, and not just a quick, how are you doing, where someone just knows they're meant to just answer, I'm good, right? But really being intentional about connecting. I think it also is important when you're leading a virtual team that you over-communicate clarity around roles, expectations, and goals.
Okay.
Because you're managing, you know, they call it the old style of management, by walking around, right? Where you are seeing people, but you don't have that. So you're really managing by delivery. You're measuring someone's performance on the basis of what they're able to achieve, because you're not there to see if they're working or not. So it's very important that there's clarity on what are the expectations, what are the goals. And then I think the last thing really is about ensuring that you create an environment of feedback where your team are able to give feedback to you as a leader and let you know if they are struggling. Because you're not going to be able to see it naturally, right? For those leaders who are intuitive, who are high in, you know, being able to pick up where there's shifts in terms of how people show up, what people's mood is, how friendly and energized they are, then you may be able to pick it up that, okay, someone seems a bit more disconnected, but it's a lot harder. So you want to create a space where your team can come and share. Ultimately, when you're leading a virtual team, it requires a shift from managing tasks to leading people. And that requires greater empathy, more consistency, and having a kind of people-first mindset.
Would you say there are some leaders who can learn these skills and some who just can't and would rather have the teams come back to the office?
Well, let me put it this way, and I may offend many, okay. But I think that lazy leaders will say, no, everyone just come to the office. Mm. It's a lot easier to lead that way.
Yeah.
But the thing about leadership is anyone who intentionally makes the effort can develop these different types of leadership skills. So it's a lot of work. It requires you to also be open to the fact that, you know, you may make some mistakes along the way. And so you need to kind of iterate your process. But anyone can learn to be a more effective leader lead virtual teams.
Certainly.
But it is definitely a lot of work.
And I think I like how you really put it in. It might be offensive to those that might be offended, but it is the truth, right? It is lazy leadership to want to say, no, I don't really mind about KPIs and your deliverables. I don't mind about what your performance actually is. I just want to see you on your desk working. Then I know you're working. Whereas like, really? Really?
Yeah.
And maybe let's talk about this idea you brought up to say, when you talk about leadership on the virtual platforms, it's not really about just saying, hey, where's the work and what did you do and so forth. You need to actually get a bit more in touch with your team, build that rapport. How does one do that? And what communication strategies are most effective instead of just saying, hi, catch up? When I say catch up, I'm not meaning how's things, how's family. No, I'm saying, where's that thing that I asked you for you 2 days ago? How can we move catch up from being that to actually being connecting at human level?
I think it starts with just understanding that you're leading humans. And to be honest with you, this is something that's equally important, whether you're leading a virtual team or you're interacting with people in person. You're leading humans. And you're leading humans in an era where we have people who are a lot more open about what they need, who are a lot more vocal about what they need, and who are a lot less intolerant about poor leadership. I think if you compare 20, 30 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago, you as a leader were leading a team who felt as if they were really grateful for the job they had and they were willing to take whatever nonsense to keep their job.
True.
That has really changed. Employees today are not willing to take up to deal with a leader's nonsense. People are more intolerant of poor leadership. People are more willing to cut their losses. You'll find someone quitting and they don't even have another job because they cannot work with that particular leader. So I think it's no longer a nice to have these kind of skills that make you a more effective leader. They're necessary if you're going to lead the teams that exist today. And I think one of the critical things that leaders must focus on is trust. Building trust, because trust is the currency of remote leadership. And it can only be earned through consistency, empathy, and transparency. I often talk about empathy, and the feedback I get is that, oh no, but if I'm empathic, people will, you know, think they can get away with anything, they won't deliver. But I think a lot of us have a misunderstanding of what empathy is. Empathy is not about being soft, right? Empathy is about recognizing that people are humans. You are leading humans. And because they're humans, they have multiple facets and you need to see all of those and allow for all of those. It doesn't then mean that boundaries are let go. It doesn't mean there's no accountability. We maintain those. We maintain boundaries. We maintain accountability. Yeah. But we do it recognizing that we're leading people. So yeah. I think that's the first thing. It's just that empathy of understanding that you're leading humans. And then what's also critical is communication, right? We need to communicate effectively. If you are going to lead a team and shift from a focus on tasks, which is easy to do when you're working remotely, right? Where, like we said, your check-ins are just about where are you on achieving the tasks.
Yeah.
Then you just need to be intentional and build in time to genuinely get to know what's going on with your people and find different ways to do this. I think leaders who lead virtual teams have to invest a lot more in understanding team members Because there are those team members who are very open, will tell you when they're not okay, will tell you when they need help. Then there are those team members where you have to do a bit more work. You have to peel a few more layers of the onion before they can genuinely share of themselves. And so you need to invest in getting to know them. But I think that the overriding principle here is you're leading humans.
Yes.
And recognize that as a leader.
You know, one thing I've picked up is when you use the AI platforms, right? Usually they would say, be kind or be courteous to urge. You know, you don't just say, do this for me. You must say, hi, may I please get, you know, treated as though it's a human being. Now, if that's going to be the request for not even a sentient artificial intelligence, surely what about for human beings?
Yeah.
We definitely need to do better. And maybe let's talk about this idea of making sure the work is done. I mean, I loved how you brought about this idea of empathy. And how sometimes people mistake it to mean therefore I'm not doing my work as a manager or as a leader. To say, no, the two are not necessarily the same thing. I can be still ensuring I'm firm and get you to do what you need to do, but I don't have to be some words we can't use on the radio, you know, in my approach to it, you know. How can leaders ensure remote members feel connected to the organization and cultural values, even though they are in that space of remoteness? They still very much feel like, you know what, this is the place I want to be, and not like, okay, you know what, exit door, I'm better off now, I'm no longer in connection, I can leave anytime.
I think that this is so critical when we're leading remote teams, right? Because you want them to still feel connected to, you know, what the organization stands for. Here's the thing, culture isn't about a building. Culture is about behavior. As a leader, you can create that sense of cultural connection by firstly modeling those values and, you know, the vision consistently, even in a virtual space. So it's about understanding what are our values. How can I behave in such a way as to demonstrate my commitment to those values and demonstrate my commitment to the individuals who are living out those values? I talk about intentionality in connection. I think if you are leading a virtual team, you need to start meetings with check-ins. And don't let these check-ins become rote. You know what I mean? Where it's just go around the room and just say, you know, how you're doing, and then that's it. But really emphasize by your behavior and by modeling, and even by your vulnerability as a leader, how important this is, right? I'll give you an example. If you are checking in, I had a rough day yesterday. I dropped the ball on a very important project. And yeah, I was not in a good space, right? Because I was just thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I dropped the ball on this. And so as if I was then going into a meeting with my virtual team, I would start by sharing that as part of our check-in, right? So if we know that we have an agenda and the first 15 minutes of this agenda is checking in, so give good time, let it be on the agenda, then you need to role model your commitment to this check-in. So I would start by saying, wow, as we're going to this meeting, I'm not in a great space, right? I would talk a little bit about what happened and why I feel I dropped the ball, and just mention the fact that, so right now I'm not feeling great. I feel like I let down the team, and I'm really trying to help myself to recognize that we make mistakes, we must forgive ourselves, and we must move on, right? If as a leader I demonstrate that this is important, then it's important to the team. So I think number one, in order to really help the team feel connected to you as a leader, to the values of the organizations, start by modeling it with how you behave and how you check in. Secondly, celebrate with the team. It's really important to celebrate. Celebration, you know, really supports connection. People feel connected if we're celebrating. And we don't have to wait for the big things. Let's celebrate some of the simple things and model an attitude of gratitude. I think the third thing would be recognize values-driven behavior. So call people out if they are behaving in a manner that is aligned to our organizational values. Right? So if, for example, as an organization, we have a value that says we fail forward, When someone makes a mistake, owns up to it, and takes steps to rectify their mistake, call that out, right? I really want to shout out Mucha today for being willing enough to share the mistake she made and the steps she's taking to rectify it, right?
Yeah.
So be attentive to your team and notice when people are living out this values-driven behavior, and then appreciate it and appreciate it openly. And then I think lastly, you know, share stories that connect daily work to the bigger purpose. Remind people why we are here. You know, what is our why as an organization? And help them to see how their work matters. When people see that their work matters and how it matters, they feel part of something bigger.
Yeah.
Right. And that's really important. That creates this culture of us being together and us working together towards, you know, something bigger. Maybe the other thing I would add that I didn't say is wherever it's possible, include remote workers in decision making. Right. So let people feel that they also contribute to the work that's being done. So as far as it is possible, let them feel that they also contribute. Their voice matters.
Okay.
It also helps people to feel connected to the organization.
Hey, especially on that one there, the idea of the voice mattering. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really needs a lot of institutional culture change. Yeah, to really get that the employees feel like they're part of the system of the business. Thank you so much for that. Maybe as we close off, I want to wrap it up with some practicality, right? As you speak to how this idea of virtual leadership can be measured. How can leaders measure that this is effective, and are there metrics they can utilize in doing this?
Metrics to
measure how what's important when I talk about virtual leadership. Is there something, a tool, if you will, that they can, a resource that they can utilize?
Sure. I think there's a number of things that we can do, a number of numbers that we can keep our eye on.
All right.
I think it's important to regularly run engagement scores. So have pulse surveys that really check in with people, checking how engaged they are. Give them a forum to speak about the things that may be troubling them in an anonymous way, and also to talk about what they think is going well. So it's really important to measure engagement, because engagement really tells you where people are in terms of, you know, how they're feeling about working for the team. I think many organizations can focus a lot on the productivity metrics, right? So how quickly are they completing tasks? How quickly are they responding to clients? Some of those are very easy to track, but they don't tell the whole story. So I would say engagement is important.
Okay.
I think that you can also do surveys that check in on how we're doing in terms of our feedback loops, right? And how we're generally communicating with each other. So that can be part of your engagement score, or you can do that as a separate check-in. Remember earlier I said that we need to cultivate an environment of feedback, right? Where the team feel they can come and share. So it's important to check that, right? Do the team feel that they are able to give feedback? What steps can be taken to ensure that, you know, this is a culture that is cultivated? You know, what do we need to change in order for us to be able to get more feedback from the team? I think that's really important. So the idea is we're not just checking in on the kind of hard, tangible numbers. We're also checking in on the soft things.
Yes.
I think a last thing I would say is pay attention as far as, you know, people leaving, and get to understand why, right? We often say we have exit interviews, but those exit interviews are just like, they're not as effective as they could be, because people aren't really genuinely giving feedback as to why they're leaving. And I think that it's really important to get insight from those who are leaving as to why, right? What could have kept them, for example. It's natural for people to leave, and that's okay. It's not always a crisis when someone is leaving, but it's also good to get into the habit of understanding why, right? What contributed towards their decision? Because the stats, the research shows us that people don't just leave because they've gotten a better pay. Very often you'll find someone will stay somewhere even though they've been headhunted, they've been offered greater pay because of the environment they're working in. So we want to know more about why people are leaving and what we could do differently so that, you know, we can retain them. And we and the key is to try and find ways to create an environment where people are able to actually share that.
Yeah, I think that that's the biggest part, right? I've got a someone commenting here. I'm thinking maybe they're managing their space, but they hate us when we call them out. Yo, they're saying that we are attacking them. That's why we end up just doing the work ourselves, rather.
Yeah.
But I like how we
and you know, it's really important because, you know, you could say until the cows come home that you're open to feedback and that you receive feedback and you love feedback and please come and tell me. Mm-hmm. But how you respond, both from your body language to how you use the feedback, goes a long way in determining whether or not people will give you feedback again.
I think that's profound. That's profound. Yeah. So don't just blame the somebody, right? They say that when you point at someone, the three fingers are pointing back at you. Have you paused long enough to see what am
100%.
I doing? What am I doing? Quite profound. Musha, thank you so much for your time, sis, and really appreciate
thank you
coming through and sharing.
Thank you
with
for
us.
Having me. It's always lovely to have the chat.
Marvelous stuff. Keep well and stay strong until we chat again next time.
You too.
Righty.
Bye-bye.
That's Coach Muchamlingo, who is an emotional intelligence coach. I must say, award-winning intelligence coach, and of course, a certified 6 seconds EQ practitioner and an international keynote speaker, including a master facilitator. So if you want to get in touch with her and utilize her work, as you can hear, she speaks from a wealth of wisdom. Why don't you visit her website, muchamlingo.com. That's Muchamlingo. That's Muchamlingo, muchamlingo.co. .com, muchamlingo.com.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.